Thank you, Chair. My questions relate to Article 14, in particular migrant women, and also addressing the impact of climate change. According to World Bank data, only 20% of Greek residents live in rural areas. A study of Greek farmer women published in 2017, which you reference in your State Party report, identified dominant gender perceptions related to female farmers, recorded the obstacles they face, and established proposals for greater participation of women in the rural economy. In 2016, women accounted for 34.8% of farm or livestock holders, showing a slight upward trend. But can you update us on this figure and detail any specific grants or programs in place to support rural women to acquire property and or livestock? I note that Greece suffers the largest climate-related economic losses of any European country. In 2022, the loss per inhabitant was three times the European Union average. I acknowledge the implementation of the National Climate Law, 4936 of 2022, and commend the recent adoption of a gender perspective in environmental and climate policies. Thank you for your remarks this morning, Secretary General, especially because of the disproportionate impact of climate change on women and girls. However, we've actually heard criticism about the state's approach to climate adaptation, where local authorities have been referred to as untrained, underfunded, and understaffed in this area. I'm wondering if you can detail the programs in place to support women and girls who have suffered the effects of recent climate change, particularly the economic effects of climate change disasters and their outcomes. Secretary General, we've heard how Roma women face severe discrimination and exclusion. Colleagues have talked a lot today about that. And there are concerns about the increasing gender gap in education and employment due to early marriages. I do note there's an inconsistency of the reporting on the exact number of Roma women and girls in Greece. Wondering if the State Party can please clarify this figure for us. I note your colleague's comments earlier about how groups are counted, and it's on the basis of religion and not ethnicity in the case of Thrace, for example. But would you consider expanding the census procedures and questioning to include those which identify linguistic, religious, and ethnic diversity, so as to assist the state to identify women belonging to these intersectional minorities? And finally, through you, Madam Chair, I turn to a significant concern for our dialogue, and that is the alleged pushbacks of refugees and asylum seekers and the treatment of women and girls in detention. There's an estimated roughly 108,000 forcibly displaced stateless persons in Greece. And we realise that this is a great issue for your country, places a lot of pressure on you due to such sort of irregular movements. But we understand from the National Human Rights Commission and others that this situation has improved over the last 7-8 years. However, NGOs, including the Border Violence Monitoring Network, have asserted that detention has become an intrinsic part of the pushback process and is being used as a method to inflict inhumane treatment against pushback survivors. So I ask, what steps has the State Party put in place to ensure that women and girls are protected from such violence in these environments, and what mechanisms are in place to monitor and hold accountable authorities that may be engaged in such abuses of power? And those alleged abuses include things like sexual harassment, physical beatings, and the withholding of food and water. Further to this, in 2021, BVMN documented 69 cases of refugees, of which they claim at least 20.2% demonstrate detention, which would meet the threshold of secret or incommunicado detention. Does the State Party have plans to address such alleged detention practices? And I note the terminology about controlled centres, I think, earlier, but perhaps that can be explained further. How many of these women and girls have unconditional access to family members, an attorney, an independent physician while in detention? And what has been done to ensure that they are aware of their rights while seeking asylum, and what mechanisms are available to them to report and seek legal justice for these reported incidences of violence and abuse? Thank you.